Welcome to Risky Business, a show where we get to explore new and innovative ways to understand and reduce risk by bringing together some of the leading professionals in the transportation and the insurance industry. My name is Scott Grandis. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's kick it off. Welcome to Risky Business. My name's Scott Grandis. For those of you who don't know me, hopefully most of you do. And today we're going to have a great topic. Today's topic is about electric trucks. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, what may look ugly, what seems true, what doesn't seem true. And I have one of my friends from London, Mr. James Fleming from Atento, on with me. And we both find this topic very interesting. And so we're going to dive into it. So, James, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Scott. Appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. I'm glad you're here.
I'm more impressed you call me your friend. That's the thing.
You are my friend.
I know. I'm kidding.
Oh, good stuff. Well, listen, before we get into the electric vehicle stuff, why don't you tell the folks that are going to be listening here a little bit more about yourself, what you do in the London market, and why electric vehicles are on your radar?
Yeah, well, so I'm on the insurance side. We insure a lot of the trucks, a lot of fleet of trucks in the US for physical damage only. We don't touch the liability. So, you know, the development of these trucks is a real interesting topic for us, especially because, you know, the more they improve the technology, the more values are just going to go up. So it's a big factor in how we, you know, assess our risk. You know, I've been doing trucking now for, you know, close to 20 years on the physical damage side. It's a huge, huge commodity in the London insurance market. But, you know, it's one of the number one employment, one of the number one jobs in the US for size. You know, it's the way you get, I think it was 70% was the figure of all your commodities transported around the US. That's a massive industry. And this the electric vehicle, you know, movement is going to have a huge impact. And I think it's important that, you know, people are, you know, looking at the pros and the cons of it in the short term and long term. Hence why we're gonna dive into it today.
Yeah, I totally agree. And by the way, I don't know if people are, if they're going to be watching it or just listening to it, they can do either or. But I have got to comment on the trucker hat and the T-shirt. You're playing the part today. Usually when I see you, it's a suit jacket and no ties anymore. I think ties are getting rarer in the London market.
Yeah, I've had my fill of ties.
I like the relaxed jeans.
Yeah. Cheers, mate. Appreciate it.
No worries. So listen, I looked at a lot of different websites. I sent you some of them. And, you know, I'm seeing stuff that, you know, they're boasting, and you had mentioned this before, propaganda, right? They're boasting, you know, the beautiful side of electric vehicles, and they're boasting the cost savings on electric vehicles. And we'll get into that stuff in a minute. But what they're not talking a lot about is the additional costs that are going to come with the electric vehicles, right? And looking at the values. Now, I saw Tesla put the first couple trucks out there. I saw Frito-Lay one and a Pepsi one. It was all over social media. But the prices that I'm seeing on one of the websites that I was looking at, and again, I don't know how true or not true they are, but this one is the International Council on Clean Transportation. They're saying that the average semi-truck, so a big tractor, is going to run somewhere between $400,000 and $510,000 for the unit. So now when you take that against your average tractor now, which is what, probably 150?
I'd say average tractors, yeah, 150 to 200, you know, the brand new diesel trucks coming off the, coming out of the factories, they're about 250, you know, top of the range one. So, you know, it's almost, looking at almost double the price of what we're insuring at the moment.
Yeah, that's, and so, you know, what that's going to affect, that's going to significantly impact the cost of insurance, right?
Well, I mean, look, so the way we underwrite, we rate on a percentage basis of the value. So, you know, it's going to affect us more from a potential loss standpoint because the value is going to be so much higher, but we will get more premium based upon how we rate our business. But then that price is going to be passed on to the insured. You know, he's buying these electric vehicles to try and save money in the long term. Look, don't get me wrong, you know, with these electric vehicles, I'm sure the safety aspect is going to be amazing. you know, you look at what Tesla's doing on their safe with all their safety precautions. If we can replicate some of that into the trucks, then it's going to be really positive movement for insurers, and to the point where rates will probably be reduced if you know, if it can, we can prove it works. But as anything, 99% of the time, our losses are from other people doing erratic movements in front of our trucks, and our trucks happen to react to that. So if the technology is good enough to, you know, avoid that, then brilliant. But yeah, the values is a scary aspect.
Well, yeah, you know, you have a rollover. That's a big claim.
Well, I'm hoping they'll come with some anti-rollover technology.
Well, you know that. Well, I mean, the Teslas. One of my other ones. I was with Chris Moore. I had him on talking about autonomous vehicles, and I rode in a Tesla in Uber for the first time, probably about a month or so ago. And when I rode in it, it was cool. Like it picked up, like it had little boxes that represent the vehicles driving next to the car, and it knew whether it was a minivan or it was a car or it was a truck or it was a pickup truck or whatever.
Yep.
Incredible. So yeah. I think maybe what I'm hearing is, the physical damage side may go up, but maybe the liability side goes down. You may want to get in the liability business soon.
Yeah,
well, on electric trucks.
There's not many people in London doing that, and especially not on the primary layer. But you know, if you know anyone, Scott, send them my way. But yeah, I had the same experience. It was back in November. I was in my first ever Tesla. And I was amazed by the information that's provided to the driver through the dashboard or whatever. It's like a giant iPad, really, isn't it? But yeah, it was picking up people. It could tell what color the traffic light was, 200 yards in front of the car. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Mm.
You know, and I think when you start to look at, fuel costs and the change on fuel costs. I mean, and then some of these sites are reporting that maintenance, there's not as many moving parts in the electric vehicles. So the maintenance costs are going to go down.
Maintenance costs are going to go down, but a large part of maintenance costs, which they don't mention, is wear and tear on tires. Tires cost a lot of money, and that's a big part of maintenance. You know, unless you have something, substantial go wrong with the engine. Yeah, a lot of it comes down to tyres. Also, something they're not mentioning, which I find very interesting, is, maintenance costs will probably go down as an overall. But say something goes wrong with the batteries. Supply chain to get new ones, how much is it going to cost to replace them? I'm sure there'll be warranties all over the place, but say the reason why the battery gets damaged was your fault. Well, how long is that truck going to be off the road before it can be fixed and back on the road? Also, how many people out there are going to know how the technology works to be able to fix it in a timely fashion?
Yeah, that's true. And then we gotta think about it. So we talk about costs, right? So the other side of the coin is revenue. So the way that truckers make money is they got to drive miles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here in the States, they have regulations around hours of service and how many miles the driver can drive before they have to take a break and how many miles until they have to rest for so many hours and what have you.
Yep.
So, you and I had talked about this before, and I get a mug for every one of my podcasts. So your mug is this.
Oh,
sorry,
it.
I'm late. I was charging my car.
Fantastic.
So, from what I'm seeing, the average distance for one of these on a full charge, and by the way, they need a one of the superchargers, right?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It's so big. So now you got a network issue. But the average distance is like 250 to 275 miles, mm-hmm. which is not a lot. And then if they got to stop for an hour or so to charge the truck, that's a problem.
Yeah, so I couldn't, again, I'm trying to read this information. It doesn't go into as much detail as I want. So that's 200 to 300 miles, I think I saw. I'm on a full charge. But what load is that hauling? Because obviously the heavier the truck is or heavier the trailer is with the cargo, the less mileage it's going to get out of those batteries. So, I think Tesla have promised up to 500, I think, once their trucks are fully developed, which, is a step in the right direction. At the moment, a big rig with a 300-gallon tank is doing almost up to 2,000 miles. So, still a big disparity there.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's the, you can save all the money you want with these trucks. I'm not saying it's not good for the environment, because it is, right? But at the end of the day, if you're not generating the miles to get the revenue, then the savings really don't mean anything.
Yeah, right. But I think we're being a bit harsh here, right? We're focusing on long haul, right? You know, for a short haul operation, I think electric trucks are absolutely perfect. You know, if their trucks are doing around, you know, the 300 to 500 miles a day mark, absolutely. Electric trucks are the way forward for those guys. But, you know, the people that are doing the big, long, you know, 2-3 day hauls, I just don't know how that's going to work at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know what? You're right. Because the short hauls, it will work. Because if they're just putzing around, you know, 250 miles a day and they're doing drops, yeah, for sure. I'm looking at one here too. I just pulled one up with the charging times. So a class 4 to 6 medium duty truck is 30 minutes. A class 8 heavy duty truck, which is what we're talking about here, it's an hour.
Yep. Hour. But that's on the supercharger, right? That's the chargers that are designed for trucks. If you have to use a standard, I think it's like a class 2 charger or whatever they call it out there. When I say out there in the US, I've read somewhere it's like 8 hours for a full charge for a truck.
Oh yeah, yeah. And when you look at, I found this other one. It's energy efficiency, renewable energy. U.S. Department of Energy has a website that shows where all the charging stations are, and you can break it down by the supercharger. I think it's the DC Fast. They're pretty prominent in the West Coast and the East Coast, but the Midwest, it looks like they're pretty scattered.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've seen the same website you're talking about. It's got all the locations of the chargers for the trucks. Yeah, if you're going through the middle of America, you're going to be running into a spot. You're going to need a diesel truck to come out and tow you to the nearest charging station. It's quite irony, right?
And will it be a diesel truck or will it be electric that's towing you? That would be pretty funny.
Yeah, but then that electric truck will run out of battery.
and it just continues.
Yeah, no, I'm only joking. But, you know.
No, I know.
Yeah, they're going to need the infrastructure for the long stuff at the moment. I think we're some way off the long haul. But for short haul, absolutely, 100% is the way forward. You know, to the point where me and my wife, we're even looking at getting an electric car just for, you know, the short trips around town. It just makes sense.
Yeah, that, well, you know what? They're starting to make electric pickup trucks now, and I'm going to be getting a new one, and I'm, I don't know. There's something about the roar of a diesel engine.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that. But I think you need to try one, at least test drive one.
Yeah, I'll test drive it. But yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think there's going to be a percentage of the trucking community.
I'll tell you what we do, Scott. Wait till I'm out in your neck of the woods again next, and then I'll come on the test drive with you, and we'll record it for your next podcast.
That's a great. You know what? That is a great idea. And then we have to go. We still have to go riding. I missed the last one when you were out here. Yeah, I got to take you out in the desert, and we'll go running through there. Now that won't be electric. That will be gas.
That will be gas. Yeah, you don't want to get stuck out in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, we don't want that. Are you seeing electric trucks come through on submissions yet?
No, not on submissions yet. We've got one insured that we've looked at that is, they're basically testing electric trucks. They're trying to, you know, find out full capability of them at the moment, you know, and develop them. Outside of that, we're not seeing anything electric on schedules at the moment. I feel that, you know, I think we might even have to revisit the wording once we can start getting into electric vehicles, because it's just completely changing. There's no combustion engine in there anymore. You know, we're gonna have to revisit it. You know, all the value is going to be in those battery packs.
Yeah.
Well, so this is a question for you. How do you feel about? So I noticed some of the electric trucks have completely changed their shape away from the typical US truck, and it looks much more like a European truck. What do you think about that?
That's a good question. You know, I have this conversation all the time when we get into marketing, because for whatever reason, marketing inherently, not so much the folks we use now, but before, inherently, they always gravitate towards the European looking trucks. And I'm like, You can't put that in our marketing. It's not a US truck. You need the Big Mac truck in the front.
Yeah.
I will say if you were to look at like a Peterbilt or a Mack, I'll even go so far as to say a Kenworth, but mainly Peterbilt and Mack. When you look at those, like, that's a truck, mm-hmm. right? It's got that big front end. You're looking at it. And then the Mack with the dog on the front. I still say to myself, I want to get a truck with that Mack dog on the front. I think, I do like the good old American made. This is our big diesel engine truck rolling down the road. But yeah, I mean, the new ones, they're somewhat similar. I mean, they're more curved, but they still have like, you know, you guys have in the UK and Europe, it's more of the flat front.
That's right.
Which is the cab over, right? Whereas ours is the cabs in the back and the engines in the front. Mm-hmm. It's definitely getting more European. If Mack starts making them, hopefully they're going to look like a Mack truck and it's going to have that big bulldog on
it. Yeah, absolutely. But like, so, you know, we're talking about like the prices and stuff. So, you know, definitely with like gas prices and stuff, you know, at the moment, the US gas prices are you know, pretty high compared to what they have been in the past. You know, so what is it? I think it's like $250, is it? Something around that to fill up a diesel truck, maybe a bit more now.
It's more than that, because you're talking, I mean, there's a couple hundred gallons worth of fuel going in there, and mm-hmm. diesel prices these days, even with a discount, they're probably still north of $4 a gallon. So it's a $2,000-$2,500 fill up.
Really? For full fill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not cheap. I had some stats on the average size. You know what? Let me pull it up right now. Let's look at it. The average size of a few average, I think it's,
I might have been looking at pickup truck numbers then when I got that 250 from.
That's a pickup truck. Average fuel tank size on semi trucks. Let's see what it is. 125 to 300 gallons. So so my 2500 was a bit high. If they're paying $5 a gallon, which I think would be a little steep if they got a fuel card.
Yeah.
And they got 300 gallons worth of fuel, it's $1,500.
Yeah.
You know, so it's probably anytime they fill up is 1,200 to 1,500 mm-hmm. would be my guess.
Okay. Well, the equivalent of the 250 on a pickup truck then was, I think it's about $30 to $40 on an electric, cost for the electric. So that's a big difference, right?
Oh, it's huge. Fuel costs without a doubt. I mean, so if an average truck, let's do that. So an average truck, if they're running efficiently, let me pull out my calculator here because my math is not all that great. So they average about seven miles to the gallon. So if an average truck does 100,000 miles in a year divided by seven, that's 14,000 gallons of fuel times, let's just call it $4, which is low. You know what? Let's call it $4.50 because that's probably about right. That's $64,000 a year in fuel. Yeah, that's a lot of fuel.
It's a lot of fuel. That is a lot of fuel. So you're going to recoup your money pretty quick just through fuel bills, right?
Oh, yeah, because let's do the math again. So if you did, let's call it every 250, so we play on the safe side. So 100,000 miles divided by 250, that means they'd have to have 400 stops times $40, mm-hmm. 16,000.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a huge differentiator. So if you bump, just ballpark it, if you bump the physical damage, now this is assuming also that you didn't change any of the wording in the policy.
Yeah, just the pure battery life,
and all that
pure
stuff.
Yeah,
so if you went from 150 to 500 in physical damage costs, I mean, what's that going to cost them extra in insurance?
Well, I mean, as I said, it's on a percentage basis, right? So let's just say sort of an average rate of around 3% for a standard truck, okay? So what's 3% into 150? You'll have to do that. I'm going to calculate.
150 times 0.03. So that's 4,500 versus, let's call it half a million.
Yep.
Times 0.03, 15,000. So, you know, now you take, if you subtract the, all right, we're really getting into numbers.
We're really playing this down here, right? This is just, we're just chucking a basic number at this. You know, there's so many other factors that go into working out the rate.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just chuck a basic rate at the number, okay? So we do that 3%. But like I said, though, once the electric trucks come in, I'm hoping there's going to be much more improved safety with this. So, we're going to be able to reduce our rate to help relieve some of the pressure on the insurance. in theory.
I definitely agree with you there. But, well, yeah, I mean, I guess it would affect you too, because a safer driver is not going to have as many physical damage claims.
Absolutely. But then supply chain issues, you know, especially whilst there's a limited amount of spare parts available. Those spare parts are going to be very expensive. You know, we've just seen it, the inflation we've just seen in the US, spare parts were through the roof. You know, you couldn't get hold of spare parts for trucks when they were in accidents. Just couldn't do it.
No, it's nuts out here. It is absolutely nuts. So
it's calming down a bit now. It's improving. It is starting to improve a bit. But yeah, imagine that. But I reckon it'll be 10 times worse for these electric vehicles at the start, because there's just not going to be the availability. And then next thing I know as an insurer is I'm going to have the insured screaming at my agents and my cover holders and my TPAs saying, well, why is my truck still off the road? How do we explain we just can't get hold of the parts to repair it to get it back on?
Yeah, it's crazy. This whole cycle that we just went through has been so you probably can tell. Well, I've told you this before. So I like big trucks, right? I get the big 3500 Ram dually. I pull the big camper, long bed, all that stuff. Diesel, Cummins engine. There you go. And November of 2021, I sold my truck for $16,000 more than I paid for it. I put 60,000 miles on it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to capitalize on this. The brakes are going to come down in a little bit, and I'll just buy another truck. Yeah, I'm still waiting. I really screwed myself on that one.
So what are you driving around at the moment?
I drive the girlfriend's Jeep around when I'm home, and then if I need to like haul my camper, I rent a big truck.
Do you take the doors off and look really cool driving around?
Yeah. Oh, the Jeep? Oh yeah. You'll see it when you come out here. You'll see it. And then you can have the doors off, and it's not like a normal Jeep where you gotta like remove the top and store it. You just push a button and the whole thing opens up. It's really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Also a gas engine.
Also a gas. Oh, shock. I'm surprised.
Yeah. So yeah, you know what? Listen, back to this. I'm curious to see where the whole electric truck thing ends up, because there really are. And one of these things, there's a study on, you know, the fuel cost versus the electric and all that. And, you know, we were actually kind of in the ballpark of what they were putting out there as well. But, you know, the upside, I'm trying to find this other website that I'd sent. Oh, here you go. Here's the fleet expenditure breakdown. This is on fleetcomplete.com. A fleet expenditure, 36% of their costs, a fleet's costs, is fuel. And then repairs, tires, preventable maintenance is another 10.4. And I wonder out of how much is tires. I would venture to guess it's half. So you probably got, between preventable maintenance and repairs and fuel costs, it's 41%. It's a big number. Mm. It's a huge number.
Well, I honestly think, you know, is this going to really come into force in the next couple of years? I don't think so. In the next 10 years, watch this space. Electric vehicles are here to stay, definitely. They just need the technology behind it to get them to go further and longer without having to stop as much.
Well, yeah. And you know what? I was talking to my Amazon driver last week. Unfortunately, we get a lot of Amazon packages here. which means we're buying a lot of dumb stuff. But you know, Amazon's got the electric vans out there now. I don't know if they have them out in the UK, but they've got them here. And I had no idea that this technology exists. Mm-hmm. But when he steps on the brakes, it the friction recharges the battery.
Yeah. It's the we were talking about this the other day, wasn't we? It's like the KERS system on. Oh, I hope I said that right. Cars on the Formula One cars.
Oh, that's right. We were. Yeah. It was you and I talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So as they're braking, the energy created from the brakes recharges a battery within the car, which they can then release as power back into the wheels. Yeah, it's amazing technology.
Yeah, it's That's pretty cool. I had no idea that that exists. And then I wonder,
you get to charge a truck battery back up to full if you just slam on the brake.
And there goes your telematics out of control. Boom, hard braking all the time. Why were you hard braking so much? I had to charge my battery. I ran out of juice.
Kangaroo everywhere.
And you know damn well that these truckers, if they find out that that's an excuse, they're going to use it whether it was the reality or not.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know. It'll be cool to see. I think when you think about electric vehicles and you think about autonomous vehicles, I kind of put them in the same category, not for all the same reasons, but you know, I think like autonomous vehicles, they're going to go through their ups and downs, right? Cause something's going to happen. It's going to cause a crash. And then all of a sudden they're going to yank it back. They're going to redevelop, reprogram, recode, retest, and then re-release. And I think the same thing with electric vehicles. I think people are going to test them. Maybe they work. Maybe they don't work. You know, maybe they didn't think about certain things going on. I definitely think the battery issue is a big one. Like what happens? You know, and this is just what I've heard. I don't know the stats on this, but like on the Teslas, you know, it has a shelf life, doesn't it? Once the battery's out, it's extraordinarily expensive to replace it.
I have not researched into it at all. I wouldn't know. You know, I don't own an electric vehicle. I am potentially going to start looking into them, but I haven't done any homework on them yet. But I can imagine. I can imagine a lot of the value is in that battery system.
Here we go. So here's how much does it cost to replace a Tesla battery? Oh, it's not that bad, between $5,000 and $7,000. But then here's another one between $12,000 and $13,000. Yeah, and then here's another one that says $22,500.
That's still a lot of money for a, you know, a car, isn't it? That's a lot of money to fork out for a car.
Yeah,
you know, that's, you know, I mean, what would the equivalent of that be replacing on a standard pickup truck? So like the
It's $150 to $250 for a battery and a, well, on the big on the diesel, like, look, I'm talking pickup truck diesel, it has two. And there you, so it's about $500 when you replace the batteries. Mm. And you got to do that. Like here in Arizona, I got to do that every 2 years.
Right.
I wonder how long it lasts. Let's see.
Yeah, that's it. How long do they last? Because it's all well and good buying all these trucks and all these electric cars, but how long are they going to survive on the original battery packs?
Yeah, I'm typing. Let me see. How long does a...
Is it done on age of the battery pack or how many miles it's driven or how many charges it's done or how do they measure that?
So here's what it looks like. So it looks like I've got several websites that popped up that say that the battery lasts between 300 and 500,000 miles. So here's where the, you know what? Here's where the math gets...
Well, hang on. Is that just for a standard car, or is that what they're saying the trucks will do? Because if that's what the trucks are going to do, that's going to cost them a fortune, because an average truck does.
Oh, that's every 3 to 5 years. That's just a Tesla. Hold on.
Yeah.
How long will an electric truck battery last? Yeah, this is critical. Generally, electric vehicle batteries last 10 to 20 years, but we want heavy duty. How long will heavy-duty truck battery last? Let's do that.
I wonder if that's taken into consideration with maintenance and repairs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Heavy-duty electric truck battery. Okay, let's see what this comes up with. J.D. Power and Associates. Electric cars. Battery lifespan. Everything's saying 10 to 20 years, but I don't...
Yeah, but 10 to 20 years will be for an average family doing an average mileage. You're talking about trucks, you know, an average truck will be doing 80 to 120,000 miles a year if it's a long haul.
Here's powered trucks. Here we go. So the batteries are 5,300 pounds. National trend. I'm eyeballing this real quick to see if I can get, it says, which has 230,000 vehicles, extra pounds. Weight problems, beyond weight. So you know what? That's another downfall. 5,300 pounds. That's going to, you know, now we're back to revenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because these trucks have to be able to pull as much weight as they possibly can. Yep. This one's not telling me.
Okay. Well, that's one for the future to find out then. Maybe the data's not there yet.
Yeah, maybe it's not. Yeah, because if it is like the car, you're talking every 3 to 5 years they'd have to replace that battery, and it's probably more expensive.
And it can't be on an empty load. You have to do this data on full loads.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know what? I bet the data's not out there yet.
Yeah, I can't imagine it is.
Yeah, because when I did that search on the Tesla, like on the car,
yep,
it came up with like 20 things right away, and every one of them said 300 to 500. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I bet the data's not there yet.
Yeah.
Well, fun.
Yeah.
Electric vehicles, here we come.
Mate, it's going to happen, right? We've got to accept it. Are diesel trucks going anywhere in the near future? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you one thing we didn't touch on at all is the initiative that the US government have taken to give tax credits for electric vehicles. That's a big
deal. Yeah, that's significant too.
$40,000 for the heavy vehicles. It's huge.
Yeah, it's gigantic. So yeah, if the trucks are under 14,000 pounds in cars, the maximum tax credit is $7,500. But when you get to the heavy duty trucks, yeah, it's $40,000.
Huge.
And that's beginning this year. So, you know, that's going to motivate people too.
Definitely. That's going to take the sting out of the tail of buying one. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And if the whole point of what I'm trying to do with this podcast is talk about like risk and all the different risks at different levels, right? So what I heard on this is, yeah, there's a potential cost on the physical damage side, but potentially not as much as it might be because of all the new safety features the electric vehicles. And, you know, I think hearing you talk about it, like you're trying to get ahead of the curve, right? You're trying to get ahead and say,
you know, we're talking to a number of people regarding what they're seeing in electric trucks. You know, I'm talking to my agents all the time. You know, like I said, we've had this company approach us to ensure their electric trucks whilst they're developing them. So,
oh wow,
yeah, we're really trying to, you know, be as actively involved in what's going on as possible. We're not, like I said, we're not currently insuring any on the road at the moment, but it won't be long until we have our first fleet, it won't be probably a whole fleet, but it won't be long until we start seeing the fleets including electric units. But again, how fast can they produce an electric vehicle? I saw somewhere that they reckon that they'll be able to do five a day at some of the factories.
Five electric vehicles a day they're manufacturing?
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder, what's the production rate on the regular rigs, I wonder?
I've got no idea. It doesn't seem a lot though, does it?
No, I mean, I would think it would take longer to build the regular trucks because there's so many more moving parts.
Yeah, sure.
But who knows? I mean, when you're talking electric trucks, you're talking new body parts, and you know, are they produced yet? Are they still in production? Mm-hmm. You know, that type of stuff.
That's it.
Interesting times. That is for sure.
Like I said, next time I'm over, we'll get you sorted out of a test drive, and we'll do a live, maybe not live podcast, but we'll do something.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Oh, for sure we're gonna do it. We gotta get. Where's Target Markets this year? Are you gonna go to that?
The main one is in Arizona. So yeah, I'll be there.
Oh, it is again.
Yes, I think it's in the.
I gotta get the dates right this time.
Yeah, make sure you're not in London when I'm in Arizona this time.
I will get it right. And I'll be in London the 6th through the 16th of March. Send me your shirt and hat sizes.
I'm bringing you both. I will do, mate. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, cool. Listen, this has been awesome.
Yeah.
Always good to see you. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for being here today. Hopefully it wasn't painful.
It wasn't too painful, was it?
No, not at all. You know what? I actually have fun with these because literally it's just talking to people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love it.
Absolutely. I might have started off a bit on edge, but definitely eased into it as we got into the, you know, the nuts and bolts of the conversation.
I had to. So a funny story. So I did one with, I don't even want to call him our lead developer. He is the lead developer, but he also kind of coordinates everything for the whole development team. Mm-hmm. And he keeps us on track and keeps us up. And I wanted to have him on because I wanted to show people what goes into learning how to build some of the technology we built. And how we took a developer who knew nothing about trucking and nothing about insurance. Yep. And well, it's going to be out soon. Saturday we drop the first few, and then we're going to start launching the podcast from there. But anyways, to hear him talk about what he knows about trucking now is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And to hear him talk about what he knows about the London market is pretty cool. But he was nervous, so we had to have cocktails in our mugs for the podcast. So we were drinking on the podcast. It was fun.
I think you're going to keep that a secret, Scott.
No, I brought it up right away. Listen, it's a podcast. Do you watch South Park?
I have been known to watch South Park. Yes.
Yeah. So Eric Cartman.
Yeah.
Where he always says, "Whatever, I'll do what I want."
Love it. Don't compare me to Eric Cartman, right?
That's right. All right. Listen. Be well. I know it's getting late there. Thanks for being on. I'll see you in a few weeks. And some of your shirt and hat sizes. I'm bringing you some swag. All right. See ya.
Cheers, Scott.
Peace.
I hope you enjoyed our show today. Remember, when it comes to creativity and innovation, I always like to quote one of my favorite lines out of the movie Tommy Boy. If you ain't growing, you're dying. There ain't no third direction. My name's Scott Greendis. I'll see you on the next show. Peace.